from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by EOC Audio, Chicagoland's leader in audio, video, networking, and home automation. EOCAudio.com.
If you build it, they will come.
In this case, maybe Jim Boylan's words will prove prophetic.
Seen that movie?
Well, he spent a lot of time over in that area.
Yeah, because it looks like that there is going to be a, and the key word here, wait for it, privately funded, hyphenated word, privately funded remodeling of the area around United Center into something that sounds, frankly, really kind of awesome.
And you figured that this was the direction that it was going in when the report started that Jerry Reinsdorf was buying up parking lots around the United Center. And I was starting to wonder, is that an expansion of the network, for example? Like, is that going to allow him to build some spaces out for Chicago Sports Network? But this seems like it's a far better idea.
This sounds great, actually. This is from the Tribune. The Reinsdorf and Wirtz families today unveiled a proposal to remake the near West Side neighborhood around the United Center, replacing unsightly parking lots with publicly available green spaces, a 6,000-seat music hall, and thousands of new homes. It's going to be a new neighborhood with the United Center as its anchor. That's Terry Savarese.
You get to take some of that music or comedy crowd that's been at Wintrust, build your own place and have them over there.
That's a perfect size. Chicago does need more things that size, because obviously you've got the United Center, you've got Soldier Field, you've got some major venues. And then you're talking about the UIC Pavilion and Wintrust and some of these other.
Wintrust is like 10,000 people.
But then the mid-size venues, I guess you'd consider, right now you're talking the Salt Shed,
Chicago Theater,
Park West,
Aragon,
Thalia Hall, you got Lincoln Hall, you know, City Winery, some of these other smaller venues. But to have a 6,000 seat spot, if they can just nail the acoustics too, where you're not retrofitting anything and you're building this out as a music venue or as a performance venue, that'd be great, because I think we could absolutely use a place like that. Not to mention the plans in this that involve green space and walking areas. All the stuff we talked about for urban planning and roof gardens. The key being private investment. Now, if you want to say you want a public partnership,
They're going to need one, because there needs to be like pink line extension.
That's a perfect use of public money. You need a train station, exit ramps, a little bit of help with the stuff that can be controlled with a public benefit. Hell yeah.
Yeah, there's a reverse flow thing that you want to do on one of the streets in between certain areas. So you could do that if you wanted to. You can build in. And if you go west of the United Center, there's a bunch of roundabouts now. Like the area, like if you're, as far as real estate goes, you're probably too late to the party to move just west of the United Center. Like that area just like west of Damon to about Crane High School.
Yeah, if you're really investing, like west of Western would be where you want to start buying stuff.
Yep.
Like if you're talking about on like Madison and Western, there's a huge swath of land back there that I think is going to be right from Johnny's Ice House West, right across the street from there, looking south from there.
Well, what you're probably doing with this from a, if we're talking about like a city planning standpoint, you're kind of creating a super neighborhood when you connect Tri-Taylor. Because if you just go across the Eisenhower, you're right into Tri-Taylor. And I was at a barbecue on the 4th of July over there, and there are some gorgeous houses with murals on every garage. And I'm like, wow. Like I think it was like Polk, like around Polk in California or wherever where I was. And I'm like, oh my, like this is an area that's been built up quite a bit. So if you're talking about then adding to the area around Malcolm X, and then you got Tri-Taylor over there, like this is, I think this is a really good thing. And the other part of this, I think this rollout is way better. Sun-Times and the Tribune both have stories on this. I'm looking forward to when Lee Bay writes about all of this, because I know that he knows the people that are in charge of it. But this is the way you do it. The alderman is already on board, but saying we're going to talk with the public about how they feel about this. That's a much easier thing to sell than, well, we're going to create this micro neighborhood and we're going to build something and you're going to pay for it. No, I think this is if you're talking about legacy stuff, because this thing probably won't be done for a decade, according to what the Tribune and the Sun-Times wrote about, this, I think, feels better to me for Reinsdorf than it would be to him kind of romping and stomping his way into the 78 to build a ballpark for a team that a lot of people don't care about right now.
I think what he's already done in that whole corridor, as somebody who grew up going to Bulls games before, you know, long, long pre-Jordan, when, man, I could tell you stories about what the West Side looked like when we were driving out there, and as a kid from the suburbs, to have my nose pressed up against the glass, like, ooh, look at that. Whoa, this is the city. Ooh, this is kind of scary and exciting, and walking from the car, we'd park at some red top parking thing and hurry our ass into that building as fast as we possibly could and get out there and get to the car as fast as we possibly could and hurry back to the safety of the suburbs to see what that is now.
It's
come
great.
On, man. It's crazy.
It's great. But look, there's a lot of open space over there that just sits and gets hot. A lot of blacktop over there that just bakes in the sun when it's not being used.
And there will be parking structures, but you won't recognize them because of the way it's understood that you can do things now with below ground and above ground and stacking things up. But if you're talking about green roofs, you're talking about park spaces, and being able to walk is so important.
Well, that's why a pink line extension would be helpful, you know, because now what your blue line one, what Ashland and Damon are your two, and that's, you know, you're at Ida B. Wells, and so you'd love to have something else over there that could branch off and get people a little closer if they're closer to the Ashland side of things. But I, in reading this, I'm going, wow, this is really well thought out, the execution of it. And I see Texas, there are people who are skeptical, and keep that skepticism. I think that that's okay, especially when we're talking about public money, that this is supposedly mostly privately financed. But the way that Dan and I have both talked about, the help that the public money is for the infrastructure. That's what you want it to be. You want it to be, hey, we need roundabouts put in. Hey, can you extend the pink line over there? Or is there another stop in the middle on the blue line that we add to this thing? That's where I think the city it is the city's responsibility to help out in private enterprise and the marriage between public and private money. What it's felt like when we've talked about the Bears or the White Sox is we want you to build this thing for us. And Brandon Johnson has been keen on talking about skin in the game. And when I was reading these pieces, this feels more like putting skin in the game because of the actual investment that's already happened and not an imaginary one where Kevin Warren can fudge the numbers and talk to you about, well, what the expected return on investment is going to be, where this is Jerry Reinsdorf, at least to this point, going, I bought up all this land. I kind of want to do something with it. If we do something with it, can we then get the city to help us when it comes to some of the things that we might need? And I think that that's a fair way for public and private money to interact.
That's how it's supposed to work. That's the insane. We got $7 billion of our own money that we are going to put in to make people's lives ostensibly better. And for a city to be like, oh, well, that's great. Well, it's going to be even better with a train station.
Right.
It's going to be even better with a traffic flow component here. That's
let's
going to change.
Let's expand Ogden. Like, you know, there are things that can be done that I think would allow for it to be a really great experience. And then you're creating a place. But at least this feels more fleshed out. I don't feel like I'm being scammed.
Right.
Like, as a citizen of Chicago, I don't feel like someone's just got their hand in my pocket.
Well, I also haven't seen the teaser renderings yet. Because the first sign that you're being scammed is somebody usually is going to put the...
Look how pretty.
Yeah. If they're putting pretty pictures in front of your face, ooh. If they're doing that, then they're trying to bypass parts of your brain.
Now, I do have a question, and this was brought up in the group chat, and Campy brought this up. Why is none of this going to go to help retrofit the United Center? Because now we're talking about a 30-year-old building. It's fine. It's one of the best places, and clearly it's the most popular in the NBA when it comes to attendance. But there are things that could be better there. Is any of the private money going to go into that, or is that something where Reinsdorf could say, hey, instead of me worrying about building this new building over in the 78, what if some of that money went to improvements into the United Center? Especially considering
bait and switch.
Especially considering that I'm going to build up around it.
No, I think it was a separate.
I wouldn't have that big a problem with that,
well,
by the way.
Well, there are separate aspects to that, and that's a little different. Once they cut the check, once if there's a shovel in the ground with your money, and we know it's you and the Wirtz family, and that's your investment, and you can make the money on it, and this is your massive real estate buildup. You're going to put money into the property to make the property worth more. Okay, but this is a far cry from, will you build us a domed stadium by the lake, please? No.
No.
No, we won't. I don't care if you wake up at 4:30 in the morning without an alarm clock and you cry when you're staring at your George Halas photo.
Will you build us a new baseball stadium with some money that's like kind of dirty?
No.
Well, how about water taxis? We'll have water taxis.
That's how people can get to the game.
Everybody can come to the game down the old river, like Huckleberry
Finn. You should
have
led with water taxis.
Water taxis.
Because those will be pleasant in April and early May.
We'll have big river boats with a paddle wheel. And you can...
Have you guys taken the ice chopper down to the White Sox park?
Ice breaker cutting through? With the Shackleford expedition?
I'm here to see White Sox baseball. Were you able to chop through that ice? Yeah.
Walk on the frozen river to the game at the 78. Think about that.
Or it's like, what's the festival in Denmark where everyone skates down the river?
We don't know, Dan.
What?
There's some big famous festival where everybody.
What are you talking about?
There's a. What's the Scandinavian
you
festival?
You tell us. We don't.
Come
tell
on.
You.
It's got a. It's a, you know what I'm talking
no,
about.
No, I don't.
And they say that global warming is
know?
Now taking away the festival because
no.
the river doesn't freeze like it used to, and now they can't do their.
It's
traditional...
called the CalSag Channel.
You're not skating on the CalSag Channel.
That's what you asked. I've got it.
Somebody will know it for me. Someone knows. But either way, that's the way that a big city real estate project should be done. Rich people do the stuff, and then we can help a little bit with some tax dollars to make all of our lives better. There. Done. Fixed.
Done. And done.
Next up. What did you describe this as? Caleb's cadence?
Yeah. Well, I think Studs described it as Caleb's cadence. I don't want to take his stuff, steal his comedy bits. But we're going to talk about the improvement in Caleb's cadence with Kaylin Kaler.
No, she's not
on the show
it's
today.
It's not Kaylin Kaler on Caleb's cadence, but it should be.
It should be. That should be a segment that we do at some point. But this will just be us talking about it and hearing people around the Bears discussing it. Next, here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
We gave him a lot, you know, during the spring, you know, so, and then in the summer, same thing. You know, so formation, motion, understanding a concept. You know, run kills, you know, killing at the run, killing at the pass, alerts, all those things were a couple levels up. And you can see it. And how do you see it? You see it in the execution. They're in and out of the huddle. You know, I think we only had one today where they weren't. And it was much better.
All right. Matt Eberflus on the process and making sure that there's no issues. Can't have those burned timeouts, pre-snap penalties. This thing's got to be a well-oiled machine. By the way, machine. Thanks to those who pointed out. It's a Dutch festival called the Elfstedentocht. It's been a combination, like, sports event, festival. They skate around the canals when it gets cold.
It's right on the tip of my tongue. Yeah,
Elfstedentocht.
So close.
Like I said, this SAG.
Elfstedentocht or whatever
you say. CalSAG Channel.
Elfstedentocht.
That's what it is.
Thank you. So when do we get to make Caleb and the line of scrimmage and the calls and the cadence is not a thing? When do we know?
I don't think that we'll know for a long time.
Okay.
I think we're talking about like regular season because everything's different when you can be injured. Everything's different when you can be hit. But it sounds like there's been a tremendous amount of progress made between where they were at the end of mini camps and OTAs to what they've done in the first couple of practices. And what that sounds like to me is a quarterback who cares. That they gave him an assignment. You need to get better at this. And there's been, you know, people have talked about it. I think Keenan Allen discussed that they were playing that Monopoly card game. And he was doing to Caleb what Brian Daboll was doing to the quarterbacks for the draft. Like in the middle of them playing, he's like, what's this play? Or go get on the board. So all of that stuff I think is valuable, and it shows, are you just looking at stuff from the festival now?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
What are you looking at?
I was looking at Twitter.
What's on Twitter right now?
a picture.
Of what?
It's funny.
Of?
Coach Tom sent me a picture, apparently, of my kid at a bar.
Sure you want to out the young man like that?
Well, too late now. He's like, hey, I guess this was the other night. I'm like, oh, thanks, Coach.
Guys, don't ever tell Dan any secret.
What? You asked. I'm a bad liar. I'm a bad liar.
The worst.
This guy.
What? I was not looking up, what was it, Elfstendocked?
You know Studs.
No, we're talking what, Caleb's cadence.
What sound can we play to get us out of this?
Shaq.
Let's go with Eberflus talking about the offensive operation.
Okay.
Pre-snap penalties are down. Getting in and out of the huddle is good. And that's just because, we're learning the system, learning how to do it, and we're learning how to break the huddle, get to the line of scrimmage, and operate our motions and shifts and make our calls. And I think it's really been good. And Caleb is the apex of that. You know, he's just got to keep getting better at it and keep progressing every single day.
How's the cadence issue with Caleb right now?
Good. Yeah. It came back way better. And in terms of just the operation of it, and it's improving every day.
You feel resolved. That's resolved. You guys have a game next week, obviously.
You're always going to enhance your cadence and change the cadence. So you know we have to go through the process of that. You know you got to use different cadences, and it's got to use it as a weapon, and that takes time. And we're going through the process right now. We're not even close to being through that process yet.
Now that's interesting. You have to enhance it to use it as a weapon. So where I'd like to know what the distance is between going from collegiate clap to having to spit out all the word.
Going to Aaron Rodgers, because that's the spectrum. When we're talking about cadence, understanding, snap count, drawing people off sides, from clap cadence to Aaron Rodgers being able to get 5 yards from you whenever he needs it.
That's the spectrum. And being able to use it to get you into a free play, not just 5 yards. If you have that kind of opportunity to catch him in a jump when you're looking all verts, go, 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 fire call, this doesn't count if it sucks.
That's what you want your quarterback to be able to do. And the cool thing about it, I think, is that a willingness to learn it, a willingness to drill it and work it in your time off, that's a component of leadership. That's holding yourself to the same standard that you would hold other people to. So I think that that's a really good thing to hear about Caleb, that that's the way that he's working through some of this.
Yeah, I mean, working through, and I don't care how polished a rookie you are, there are things that you're not going to be aware that you don't know. And the more of that stuff that they can figure out before it's live fire, the better.
Yeah, that's what the amount of snaps that are going to be used in preseason, I think, is interesting, too, in that regard. Because even in the joint practice with the Bengals, and we'll see how they end up playing this thing, the joint practice, you still are going to touch up the quarterback. You're not going to...
Well, there's also going to be all kinds of handshake deals about, you know, what you're going to see and not see. Much of that is going to be planned.
Yep.
They're not going in there to... They want to help each other. There's all sorts of agreements. They're all professionals. The guys are all in the same... It's not...
Well, I mean, they're all professionals, but we often see fights happening at those joint practices.
Yeah, I think sometimes... Often it's the bottom roster guys who are a little more desperate.
I don't know about that.
Although,
I think that you've been hitting your teammates for 2 weeks, and then you get to hit someone else. And the yapping that you're – like the defensive backs are clearly doing a lot of yapping in Bears practice. Maybe Joe Cool doesn't like that. You know, that stuff that can go on inside of one of those practices, and you end up having some tempers flare. But let's get back to Caleb.
Yeah, I will say the best fight I ever saw was veterans. The best training camp fight I ever saw. Andy Heck against Alonzo Spellman.
I saw Martellus Bennett choke slam a teammate.
Yeah, not supposed to do that. But this was like helmets.
Wasn't that Kyle Fuller?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I remember too. I was at that practice. That was incredible.
Just And then it's like, he basically was like, who else wants it? Because I'm pretty sure Brandon Marshall was like, you can't do that. And Martellus was like, you can get it too. And they're in the same huddle.
This is the 773 says the rendering for the UC space project is out, and they are pretty pictures, LOL.
Oh, crap.
No, it's okay. As long as they announce it is privately funded first.
Yes.
As long as they say, look, we're paying for this. Here, it's awesome. You're not paying for it. As long as that's out there first, and they don't come out with the pictures first, and then say, by the way, can you give us the money for all this awesome stuff?
We'd like all this money and the permission to do whatever we want, and we want to keep all the money from the building that we built with your money.
They did it in the right order. I'm looking forward to seeing the pretty pictures, but they did it in the right order.
One of the guys that has to listen to Caleb's cadence and pay attention to it is Tevin Jenkins. Here's what he said about the improvement.
Tevin, the cadence issues that you guys were having with Caleb back in June, I guess, May, June.
It's all ironed out.
I was going to ask if you felt like that's solved.
Yeah, it's ironed out right now. We're doing really good on it, and hopefully we keep on continuing growing off that.
Okay.
Well, but from what Matt Eberflus says, there's a lot more work to be done.
Agreed.
Okay.
But
I think what Eberflus is saying is what you guys are talking about.
The spectrum.
Like, yeah, he's at a point where, okay, it's clean. We can get the ball snapped without having pre-snap penalties. And now there's still a ways to go to what you guys are talking about where he's using it as a weapon. So let's say he's on a scale of like 1 to 10 where competency is what, 4?
Right.
He's at a 4.
Don't have it hurt us.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers is the 10.
Yes.
A quarterback like that, but Mahomes, Rodgers, those guys are the perfection of the cadence. And now we'll see how Caleb continues to move along in that regard.
And we'll see what it is, because those are two famous cadences. One is Green 18, and the other is Blue 80. Right? The Mahomes cadence that we hear is that Blue 80. The other one is famously Green 18. So it can be maybe something new to Caleb. What would be appropriate? What would be a does he make the bear claw? Would that be a false start?
What if he just yells bear claw?
Or bears.
Bears.
the bear.
The Grody cadence. You just see Grody like wiping his hands in the towel on his belt. Right, adjusting, putting his hands over the ear holes, and he just walks up. And he looks left, looks right. The center leans back and points.
Green 19, Bears.
53 is the mic. Bears.
We're gonna go on two Bears here.
Bears.
On two.
But it's quiet. Bears. The wind is howling, and he's just Bears.
Bears.
Set hunt.
Silent snap.
Bears. Ready, ready. Hurry, hurry. Can.
Bears.
Can't hear you.
Bears.
Bears.
There it is.
That's the way it should be done right there.
You're robbing Meade out there to teach him how to do it.
Bears.
What's Robin Meade doing at practice? Well, she's teaching Caleb how to say cadence. Bears.
Bears.
Run it again.
She's out there with a whistle. Yeah. And Virginia's cricket mallet.
Yeah, and Virginia's just like standing behind her, arms folded, hat pulled down.
I now love the visual of Robin Meade having the air horn to be like, the ball should be out! Bears! It should be out! 3 seconds, Caleb, this isn't USC! Bears!
Run it again! I wonder if we're going to see Virginia on the practice field on Hard Knocks.
Well, since you're derelict in your duties.
I haven't. I'm not
putting
yet
a bingo card. I'll just
it's
do it myself.
It's not time yet. I've got 2 weeks.
So what I have to do? 25 things?
24 with a free space. No, I'm doing it.
I figured the free space will be Caleb's contract signing. Since everyone thinks that this is a work. Like, we'll just put that in the middle.
Well, shouldn't the free space just be, because it's literally just a free space. It should just be a bear head. It should just be a bear head.
Bears. So yeah. I got to come up with 24 things.
Bears.
I think I can do that.
Wait, I didn't. I'm.
You have abdicated,
sir. I have not.
We have been asking you for weeks.
But it's not time yet. We don't need it yet.
Dan, we do need it because we have to give it to Connor or Lapka so they can create it. So
Lapka could do it in his sleep.
Okay.
He could do it in 5 minutes. Okay. I'm going to do it.
And what if we then wanted to mix them up so that, like a bingo card, and they're in different spaces so that different people could win? That's why you need to do it early.
Right. So why don't we do it as a group?
You do it. Since you want to do it.
I know you're the one you want to do. I'm happy to write down all of them, but why don't we each write down 20? Or we each write down 10?
And then put it together?
And then we pick?
Yeah, that actually works out. 5 of us, we each do 10. We come up with the best 25.
Yeah, we each do 10 things that could be on there, and there will be a ton of redundancies.
Bears.
And then we'll come up with 25, and we'll like B-E-A-R-S, and we'll line them up.
But yeah. What's the due date here? We gotta set a due date.
It has to be the Sunday before Hard Knocks.
So, all right, the first episode of Hard Knocks is...
Is it the 6th?
6th, so the 4th, August 4th would be the deadline.
August 4th. And then we'll have our bingo card, and people can watch Hard Knocks with our bingo card and laugh and have some fun with it.
Some people saying the cadence should be Bear 85.
No, don't ever bring that up again.
Claw 83.
Well, White Claw.
83.
White Claw 83. Man, the Big Ten is really running through these press conferences, man.
Sack machine.
Get him up.
Every time I look up, there's a different coach up there.
Yeah, it's like a stop and repeat. I mean, there's seriously.
It was not this way at SEC.
So let me ask you this. Is each one of those a different podium and backdrop, or do they switch it out?
I think they switch it out. At SEC, it was electronic.
That's what
they had everyone behind the big video board.
Because they don't want to make the reporters plug in and plug out and plug in and plug out.
And they just had they bring Sankey would talk to each one, to talk about each coach, and then the coach would come out to the fight song. Oklahoma had so many people there. Even Sankey was like, there's a lot of cameras here.
Were they all saying Boomer Sooner all
no,
the time?
There's a lot of coach in press conferences, but...
Oh, calling him coach?
But there wasn't a lot of that. Like, people were at least that level of professional. But yeah, they are working it right here at Big Ten. Like, let's get everyone's football information. Let's get them back to their host city.
But we'll have Jeremy Werner on from there to talk to us at 1:25.
So all right.
Fun. We have High Noon coming up next. And if you thought Cocaine Bear was a thing, I think this is even more so because it's real.
And I am going to celebrate a new school joining the SEC.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Wow, high noon already? This is flying. Started out by playing what you'd call a soft valediction from Jed Hoyer on this year's Cubs team, basically saying, well, this team isn't worth any short-term investment. If it's something that helps next year's team, maybe they'll make a move. But then he talked about how this team just never has caught fire because the timing of the games was bad, and they timed their bad stretch, or what he called their... They didn't have their hot pocket. Hot pocket! And... I don't know. It rings a little hollow. It's 100 games and you're just not very good. The team's not very good. And to say, well, what we're doing is on the right track and it's all going to work next year or the year beyond, something's got to give when it comes to the way this team is constructed that allows them to be buffeted by the winds of fate and variance and other factors. Control your own fate by being better at things. We also talked to Chris Emma. He was really good from the practice field with the latest on the Bears. And we were saying nice things about a private development plan around the United Center. Private funding. You're going to pay for it. Makes a big difference. And it certainly makes it more palatable if you want a little help with roads or a train station or something like that. And we talked about Caleb's cadence.
It's time.
Look, when you're out here and you're seeing the landscape of college sports change, You imagine there are a lot of schools that are lobbying to try to get to different conferences. Florida State, like they've been desperate to get away from Dr. Jim Phillips and the ACC, and they're going to do whatever they can to try and do it. Everyone wants to be in the SEC, Dan. You want to know why?
Money.
Because it just means more. And so I was very excited to see that the WWE would like to get itself involved in SEC business.
Bron Breakker, you are officially the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship match, meaning you will face Sami Zayn at SummerSlam. But do you have any remorse for how things went down with Ilya Dragunov?
Look, I showed the world tonight what happens when you get in the ring with me, when I am 100% laser focused and attention to detail. I'm the most dangerous man in that locker room. Now, Sami Zayn, it's over for you, man. It's over. All the hopes and dreams that you give these people out there every single week about how you take a beating and just keep getting back up and up and up and fighting for your life, all that hope is gone. Because when you step foot in the ring with me at SummerSlam, I'm going to break you in half to where you wish that you never did. It's time for the younger generation to get a chance, for the young guys to get an opportunity around here to prove themselves. And I'm going to put it to you like this, man. You are the Kirby Smart to my Nick Saban, because you got lucky once, but it will never happen again.
What an analogy. Thank you so much.
I mean, I think he kind of has it reversed, because Kirby was Saban's protege, although this works because he's older. And guess who his uncle is?
Who?
But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one and then add 66 2/3%. I got 141 2/3% chance of winning at Sacrifice.
Wait, in real life, that's his uncle?
Rick Steiner,
like the character's uncle?
Rick Steiner is his dad. That makes Scott Steiner his uncle.
Okay.
So his dad is the dog-faced gremlin. But shout out to Bron Breakker for talking that SEC stuff. We see you. Just
you
means more.
Are the Kirby Smart to my Nick Saban.
Yeah, now I really hear it. I really do. This is from the BBC. Sharks off the coast of Brazil have tested positive for cocaine. Let me read that headline again. Sharks off the coast of Brazil have tested positive for cocaine, according to scientists. Marine biologists tested 13 Brazilian sharp-nosed sharks taken from the shores near Rio and found they tested for high levels of cocaine in their muscles and their livers. The concentrations were as much as 100 times higher than previously reported for other aquatic creatures. The research carried out by the Oswaldo Cruz Foundation is the first to find the presence of cocaine in sharks. Experts believe, what ways do you think cocaine is finding itself into the systems of sharks? They listed three ways.
Flush down the toilet and send out to the ocean.
That's one, the excrement of drug users.
Trafficked drugs falling off boats.
That's two, packs
packs
of cocaine lost or dumped by traffickers at sea could also be a source, though this is less likely. The number one reason they believe
people are feeding sharks cocaine:
illegal labs where the drug is being manufactured. They said this is very important and potentially worrying. All the females in the study were pregnant. The consequences of cocaine exposure for the fetuses is unknown. Further research required to ascertain whether cocaine is changing the behavior of the sharks. But previous research has shown the drugs were likely to have similar effects on animals as they do on humans.
Well,
I mean, so I'm going to like listen to Rush.
So cocaine sharks.
Cocaine sharks. Are they going to?
That should be the next raids. Sharknado movie.
Are they going to own bars and have to go bankrupt because they put all the profits up their nose?
Wait, did they? They might have made a cocaine Sharknado after Cocaine Bear.
I don't think so. Because Cocaine Bear was real.
Yeah, but I'm right. So what?
There is a cocaine shark movie that came out in 2023.
No.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. I'm going to the IMDb page.
Who's starring in this?
Let's see if there's anyone notable.
Michael Caine.
Oh, everybody's favorite actor, Titus Himmelberger.
Oh.
No, Titus Himmelberger, Ken Van Zandt, Natalie Himmelberger. Oh, it's a Himmelberger film, everybody.
A double one.
So a bunch of people you've never heard of. An explosion at a lab lets loose on the streets of an army of mutated, murderous sharks and other creatures injected with a potent new stimulant.
Wait, they're loose on the streets?
I guess.
If no, that doesn't make sense at all.
They're on coke. They could do anything.
No, set loose on the world is what it says. A mafia drug
onto
lord.
The streets. I'm on right IMDb.
Here, says right here, set loose onto the streets.
IMDb. Step up to the streets.
Okay.
Read yours. Where's yours
Mine is also on IMDb. It just says a mafia drug lord has unleashed a new highly addictive stimulant on the streets called HT25. Derived from sharks held captive in a secret lab.
Yeah, but the sharks aren't walking down the street trying to buy cocaine.
Right, or terrorizing people on the streets.
Well, they will be in those types of movies.
After
they will be.
An explosion and a leak at the lab, an army of mutated bloodthirsty sharks and other creatures are set loose on the world.
I want to know the other creatures. Right. Like an octopus in there?
No, you don't.
An octococopus? Careful.
Well, you could talk to the deep about that on the boys. He's got all sorts of thoughts.
I haven't watched this season yet.
Oh my God, there's a cocaine cougar.
Oh, hell yeah.
You see plenty of those walking the streets of Chicago.
It's true.
Let's go to Rush Street.
That one's only 50 minutes long. Also came out in 50 minutes.
Good place where you find some.
Also released in 2023.
And the 78.
A black cougar high on cocaine escapes an animal testing facility and wreaks havoc on Los Angeles.
Motor Row is where you would go for that. That's if you were trying to find that. Motor Row, Bronzeville, Hyde Park.
630 says, nobody tells studs about cocaine koalas. It's Robert and Neighbor.
Yeah, they're planning something. We're planning.
Are they active 22 hours a day instead of 2 hours a day instead of 1 hour a day? Is that the difference?
They're still stupid and poisoned. They're just more alert.
That's it. We got to get out of here because we're going to talk pitching with Brian Bannister of the White Sox. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be great, and it's going to change the way you think about pitching. Next on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Wow, high noon already? This is flying. Started out by playing the, I guess what you'd call a soft valediction from Jed Hoyer on this year's Cubs team, basically saying, well, this team isn't worth any short-term investment. If it's something that helps next year's team, maybe they'll make a move. But then he talked about how this team just never has caught fire because the timing of the games was bad, and they timed their bad stretch, or what he called their, they didn't have their hot pocket. And I don't know, it rings a little hollow. It's 100 games and you're just not very good. The team's not very good. And to say, well, what we're doing is on the right track and it's all going to work next year or the year beyond, something's got to give when it comes to the way this team is constructed that allows them to be buffeted by the winds of fate and variance and other factors. Control your own fate by being better at things. We also talked to Chris Emma. He was really good from the practice field with the latest on the Bears. And we were saying nice things about a private development plan around the United Center. Private funding. You're going to pay for it. Makes a big difference, and it certainly makes it more palatable if you want a little help with roads or a train station or something like that. And we talked about Caleb's cadence.
It's high noon.
Look, when you're out here and you're seeing the landscape of college sports change, you imagine there are a lot of schools that are lobbying to try to get to different conferences. Florida State, like they've been desperate to get away from Dr. Jim Phillips and the ACC, and they're going to do whatever they can to try and do it. Everyone wants to be in the SEC, Dan. You want to know why?
Money.
Because it just means more. And so I was very excited to see that the WWE would like to get itself involved in SEC business.
Bron Breakker, you are officially the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship match, meaning you will face Sami Zayn at SummerSlam. But do you have any remorse for how things went down with Ilya Dragunov?
Look, I showed the world tonight what happens when you get in the ring with me, when I am 100% laser focused and attention to detail. I'm the most dangerous man in that locker room. Now, Sami Zayn, it's over for you, man. It's over. All the hopes and dreams that you give these people out there every single week about how you take a beating and just keep getting back up and up and up and fighting for your life, all that hope is gone. Because when you step foot in the ring with me at SummerSlam, I'm going to break you in half to where you wish that you never did. It's time for the younger generation to get a chance, for the young guys to get an opportunity around here to prove themselves. And I'm going to put it to you like this, man. You are the Kirby Smart to my Nick Saban, because you got lucky once, but it will never happen again.
What an analogy. Thank you so much.
I mean, I think he kind of has it reversed, because Kirby was Saban's protege. Although this works because he's older. And guess who his uncle is?
Who?
But then you take my 75% chance of winning. If we used to go one-on-one and then add 66 2/3%, I got 141 2/3% chance of winning at Sacrifice.
Wait, in real life, that's his uncle?
Rick Steiner.
Like the character's uncle?
Rick Steiner is his dad. That makes Scott Steiner his uncle.
Okay.
So his dad is the dog-faced gremlin. But shout out to Bron Breakker for talking that SEC stuff. We see you. Just
you
means more.
Are the Kirby Smart to my Nick Saban?
Yeah, now I really hear it. I really do. This is from the BBC. Sharks off the coast of Brazil have tested positive for cocaine. Let me read that headline again. Sharks off the coast of Brazil have tested positive for cocaine, according to scientists. Marine biologists tested 13 Brazilian sharp-nosed sharks taken from the shores near Rio and found they tested for high levels of cocaine in their muscles and their livers. The concentrations were as much as 100 times higher than previously reported for other aquatic creatures. The research carried out by the Oswaldo Cruz Foundation is the first to find the presence of cocaine in sharks. Experts believe, what ways do you think cocaine is finding itself into the systems of sharks? They listed three ways.
Flush down the toilet and send out to the ocean.
That's one, the excrement of drug users.
Trafficked drugs falling off boats.
That's two, packs
falling.
Packs of cocaine lost or dumped by traffickers at sea could also be a source, though this is less likely. The number one reason they believe
people are feeding sharks cocaine:
illegal labs where the drug is being manufactured. They said this is very important and potentially worrying. All the females in the study were pregnant. The consequences of cocaine exposure for the fetuses is unknown. Further research required to ascertain whether cocaine is changing the behavior of the sharks. But previous research has shown the drugs were likely to have similar effects on animals as they do on humans.
Well,
I mean, so I'm going to like listen to Rush.
So cocaine sharks.
Cocaine sharks. Are they going to?
That should be the next raids. Sharknado movie.
Are they going to own bars and have to go bankrupt because they put all the profits up their nose?
Wait, did they? They might have made a cocaine Sharknado after Cocaine Bear.
I don't think so. Because Cocaine Bear was real.
Yeah, but I'm right. So what?
There is a cocaine shark movie that came out in 2023.
No.
Yes. On. Yes. I'm going to the IMDb page.
Who's starring in this?
Let's see if there's Michael anyone Caine. Notable.
Michael Caine.
Oh, everybody's favorite actor, Titus Himmelberger.
Oh.
No. Titus Himmelberger. Ken Van Zandt. Natalie Himmelberger. Oh, it's a Himmelberger film, everybody.
A double one.
So a bunch of people you've never heard of. An explosion at a lab lets loose on the streets of an army of mutated, murderous sharks and other creatures injected with a potent new stimulant.
Wait, they're loose on the streets?
I guess.
None of this makes sense at all.
They're on coke. They could do anything.
No, set loose on the world is what it says. A mafia drug
onto
lord.
The streets. I'm on right IMDb.
Here, says right here, set loose onto the streets.
IMDb. Step up to the streets.
Okay.
Read yours. Where's yours
mine,
from?
Mine is also on IMDb. It just says a mafia drug lord has unleashed a new highly addictive stimulant on the streets called HT25. Derived from sharks held captive in a secret lab.
Yeah, but the sharks aren't walking down the street trying to buy cocaine.
Right, or terrorizing people on the streets.
Well, they will be in those types of movies.
After
they will be.
An explosion and a leak at the lab, an army of mutated bloodthirsty sharks and other creatures are set loose on the world.
I want to know the other creatures. Right. Like an octopus in there?
No, you don't.
An octococopus? Careful.
Well, you could talk to the Deep about that on The Boys. He's got all sorts of thoughts.
I haven't watched this season yet.
Oh, my God. There's a cocaine cougar.
Oh, hell yeah.
You see plenty of those walking the streets of Chicago.
It's true.
Let's go to Rush Street.
That one's only 50 minutes long. Also came out in 50 minutes.
Good place where you find some.
Also released in 2023.
And the 78.
A black cougar high on cocaine escapes an animal testing facility and wreaks havoc on Los Angeles.
Motor Row is where you would go for that. That's if you were trying to find that Motor Row, Bronzeville, Hyde Park.
630 says nobody tells studs about cocaine koalas. It's Robert and neighbors.
Yeah, they're planning something. Planning.
Are they active 22 hours a day instead of 2 hours a day instead of 1 hour a day? Is that the difference?
They're still stupid and poisoned. They're just more alert.
That's it. We got to get out of here because we're going to talk pitching with Brian Bannister of the White Sox. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be great, and it's going to change the way you think about pitching. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.